You know, often we can learn things not necessarily from the text or from a fantastic Dvar Torah or from some analysis based on what one of the Rabbanim or Meforshim or commentaries have to say. But sometimes we can learn from a story, and sometimes things that happen to us personally can teach us far beyond what we ever imagined. And many times those lessons are more pertinent, obvious, and pertainable to what we are experiencing in our lives. And many times they are far more effective in terms of incorporating those messages to our lives and improving ourselves. And I want to share with you a story which I think is particularly relevant to the time that we find ourselves in as we enter and usher the Chag HaPesach, Chodesh Nisan, the month of the Geula, of our redemption. What exactly is redemption? What exactly does it mean to be free? The following story, I think, will portray very clearly, at least according to my understanding, what it means. Last week, my son is in 11th grade, Kita Yud Aleph, here in Eretz Yisrael. And he mixes or is friendly with both a large group of boys and girls. As Chata'ai Ani Mazkir Ayom, of course, as a rabbi, no one should repeat that anywhere, lest, God forbid, anyone should think that my son is normal. But in being friendly with this chevra, he called up my wife one day last week. He was going out with my parents to supper after yeshiva in Yerushalayim. My parents were going to take him to dinner. And he called up my wife and said that one of the friends that he has, a girl, not a girlfriend, but a friend of his, that she is going to be, or she was appearing in a show in Yerushalayim. And it was a musical show, and his whole chevra, boys and girls, all from religious homes, Shomrei Halacha, they were going to the show, and he wanted to join them. He said, would that be okay? So my wife, I don't know if you could say cleverly or uncleverly, depending on whose perspective you ask, she said, classically, you have to ask Abba. She knew that there might be a halachic issue, a problem of kol isha. And so she said that he has to ask me. He called me up. I was in the yeshiva teaching. He said, Abba, can I go to this show this evening? I said, Yaakov, why do you call me up and ask that question when you know clearly the answer to the question itself? He said, what's the answer? I said, you know, Yaakov, that I can't allow you to go to that. There's a problem called kol be'isha erva. According to the Gemara, one of the Isurei Derabanan of Avizrao Deorayot, one of the prohibitions that Chazal give us in protecting ourselves in terms of attraction, in terms of interaction and mingling, is that we don't go and listen to the music of women performing live. And of course there are various halachic ramifications. Some say that certain ways it's mutter, some say that certain ways it's asr, but it's very clear that if a girl is singing in front of you, that that's problematic. Certainly according to the simple understanding of the Gemara. And this is something, interestingly enough, that we discussed a few weeks back, that I wrote a whole article about with regards to the army. Religious observant soldiers in the Israeli army, whether they should leave the room when they are partaking in a ceremony and a woman is singing. And so my son said back to me, but I don't understand, Abba. That is something that is pertinent, that is relevant to 300 years ago. It doesn't relate to us today anymore. A classic response and question of a teenager going through the teenage years in our generation. And I said to him, Yaakov, even if you don't understand whether or not it is pertinent or relevant, it nonetheless, our part of our emunat chazal, emunah en chachamim, our belief in our rabbinic directives and directions, is that we accept and we embrace the halachot that they give us, whether or not we completely comprehend their full force. And so he said to me, but I want to tell you, what's the reason? Why? I said, there's a concept called kol be'isha erva, which the Gemara says. And I explained to him the issue of attraction, to which he responded, funnily enough, although I think it was quite innocent, he said, "But Abba, the girl who's performing in the show, I don't really like her that way. I'm friendly with her. There's another girl that I happen to like that way, but she's not performing." And it was rather humorous, he said it quite innocently. But I said, nonetheless, it still is a problem. He said, "What if I go and find a Rebbe in my yeshiva who would say that it's okay?" I said, "You know what? If you find a Rebbe, one of your rabbis in your yeshiva who say that it's okay, they're your rabbeim, they're your teachers, they're your mentors, that's fine with me. Go ahead and try." Sure enough, he tried, calls me back 10 minutes later. He says, I said, "New, what did you find?" He said, "They say the same thing as you, it's problematic," which I knew would happen. And so angrily, he got off the phone, and he sent a text to my wife. The text said, in my wife's phone, "I hate the halachot, the laws of Abba." My wife called me and said that this was the text that she received. And I contemplated perhaps calling my son and telling him at this point that it was okay for him to go to the show. "I don't approve of it, but if you really feel you need to go, you should go." Why? I said to myself, I should have my son be angry at God, be angry at the religion, be angry at the Torah, have resentment towards it, rather than letting him bypass this particular halacha on the expense of having his entire perspective and view of Judaism be skewed. But then I said to myself, how can I possibly call him and tell him that it's permissible? After all, it's very clear within halacha that it's not permissible. And if I tell him, "You know what, I'd rather you not be angry and resentful towards the religion, so go," well then, ein l'davar sof. There's no end to how many things we can have in our religion where we say to ourselves, "Ach, you know what, I'm angry, this disturbs me, I don't understand it." Well, you can't just decide to dispose of halacha because something or there is something that you don't particularly enjoy, agree with, or want. And so I decided I would not call him and say that. And I left it as is. At the end of teaching in the yeshiva, at the end of the day, he called me up at about 7 o'clock at night, about an hour and a half before the show would begin. And at this point, he was with my parents for dinner, and he conducted a conversation. He got on the phone, and he said to me, "Abba, if I went to the show, if I go to the show, will you be angry at me?" I said to him, "I won't be angry at you, but I will be disappointed in you." And at that point, he broke down on the phone and started to cry. He said, "Abba, I don't want you to be disappointed in me. I don't want you to feel that way about me. But I don't know what to do. My entire chevra are going to this show. Everyone's going, including boys who are very religious. And you're asking me not to go. It's very difficult." I said to him, "Yaakov, if you don't go, you'll be that much stronger. You'll overcome your desire. And in the end, you'll be thankful and say, 'You know what? I feel good about myself, that I did the right thing, that I followed the words of the law.'" He said to me, "But Abba, I'm telling you right now, I don't feel good." I said, "Of course right now you don't feel good, but it might take a month, it might take a year, it might even take 20 years down the line, you'll turn around and look back and say, and reflect, and say to yourself, 'You know what? I did the right thing, I feel good about myself.'" But that takes time for us to realize. It's not momentary, and it's not immediate. So he said to me, "Well," he said, "let me..." He said, "What about this?" He said, "What if I go to the show and I sit on the aisle seat, and the moment that there is a girl who is going to sing, I will walk out of the show and then I'll come back in when it stops?" I said, "That's a very difficult thing to do. How could you possibly know at which points this is going to happen? I mean, that's a very challenging, daunting task to be able to accomplish." So I said, "Why don't you do this? Go to the show and stay outside of the show and see who's there. Maybe some of your friends in the end will not go to the show. You'll be able to hang out with them. And after the show, meet up with them and you could stay out even later than you normally do." He said, "Abba, I'm not looking to stay out late. I just was going to go to the show and I want to come home and go to sleep. I'm tired." Which told me clearly that he's not looking to get into trouble or to hang out. He's looking just to go to the show and come home. That was his agenda. So he said, you know what, Abba, I'm going to go to the show and I'll call you from there. Sure enough, the moment that he got off the phone, I said to myself, you know, it doesn't really matter at this point whether he goes to the show or not. The moment that he cried on the phone to me and said to me that he does not want me to be disappointed in him, I knew that I was victorious. Because what I created at that point was a clear message of communication. The importance of creating a rapport, of having a healthy, open relationship with your child, which is essential for any relationship, but certainly for one in which you expect your children to follow you, in which you expect your children to respect you. And when I got off the phone with him, my mother calls me up 5 minutes later. She says, you know, I want to tell you something. I'm sitting here listening to the conversation that your son's having with you. This is truly a blessing to have such a child who values his father's opinion, who wants to discuss things and make sure that he's doing the right thing. And the fact that he calls you up, I've never seen a child like this looking for his parental approval. I said, you know, Mom, you're 100% right. Realizing that the same communication I was having with her was quite similar to the one that I had just a few moments ago with my son. Well, sure enough, my son did not call me from the show, and I imagine that he did go to the show. The next morning, I came back from Minyan early in the morning. He comes downstairs. He's got his tzitzit out. He's preparing his food for yeshiva. He's ready to go to the bus. I go over to him and I gave him a big hug. I said, Yaakov, I'm very proud of you. He looks at me strangely. He says, what could that possibly be for? Right? He knew inside his mind that he did go to the show. I said to him, I'm proud of you. You did the wrong thing, but you behave the right way. He looked at me confused. I said, why don't you think about that today? And when you come home, we'll discuss it. Well, that evening I come home, and he walks over to me. He was already home, I came home late. He walks over to me and he says, Abba, this morning you came and you gave me a hug, and I didn't react properly. So he gives me a hug and he gives me a kiss. He says, I wanted to give this to you. I said, Yaakov, did you think about what I said this morning? Did you want to discuss it? He said, no, Abba, I don't need to discuss something that I believe I did wrong. And it was at that moment that I realized that there was no need for conversation. The conversation already was very clear. The conclusion, the consequence, and the lesson was already learned and embraced. The next day, I spoke to his principal, and he's a good friend of mine, and I asked him, I told him the story, and he said to me, it's funny because I was the rabbi that he came to ask for permission to go. Meaning he was the other rabbi who he was searching for the rite of passage. And he said to me, and today I asked Yaakov, the principal said, I asked Yaakov, did you go to the show? He said, yeah. He said, what did your father say? He said that he's proud of me. He said to him, why, do you know why your father's proud of you? He said, I don't really know why my father's proud of me, but I know that he is. He said, how do you know that? He said, because he keeps telling everyone this story. Well, it's funny. Our children don't always understand everything. But there are certain nuances and certain conversations and certain experiences that we can have with them that can say a million words without saying anything. What we learn from this story is the most essential factor and element that I believe has to exist between a parent and a child is the method and mode of being open to communicate. The respect that one has, not necessarily always doing and obeying the command, but at least obeying and respecting the fact that one has to be open to hear the other's opinion, that one has to value what the other has to say. That is the most important mode of foundation that has to exist between a parent and child. And this is exactly what we learn in this week's Rosh Chodesh Nisan as we celebrate the arrival of Pesach. What is the emphasis of Chag HaPesach? The entire emphasis of the Chag is Pesach, My mouth has to talk. I have to be open to engage in conversation, in discussion. That's the power, the prevalence of this Chag, the relevance of this entire holiday, is premised and based upon discussion. My mouth wants to speak. I long to question. I don't necessarily agree with, understand, or grasp the answers, but at the very least, I will engage in the conversation. That's the difference between the She'eno Yodeh Lish'ol, where we say, At Petach Lo, you have to open to discuss for him, because he doesn't long to have that rapport, that relationship, that conversation. That is problematic. The Chacham, on the other hand, does not know all the answers. He does not have all the solutions, but he does ask, Ma ha'idot v'achukim v'amishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeichem? What are the laws? Can I go to the show? Why do Chazal say that one cannot listen to a girl singing? What is the reason? We don't know whether or not the Chacham listened to all the answers or even followed the formula for judicial and religious success. But we do know that he piqued his curiosity to at least be curious enough and investigative enough to understand and to know. And that's what makes a Chacham. That's what makes a relationship between the father and the son. Whatever kind of son that may be within the four sons, and there are all types of personalities, there must be that engagement and conversation. And this is really what is marked this Shabbat of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Rabbeim, the Mefarshim explain that it was on Rosh Chodesh itself that Adam HaRishon sinned. The original sin introduced to this world by Adam HaRishon happened on Rosh Chodesh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Adam, and before he talked to him about any problem in Halacha or any ramification of what Adam said, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu said one thing, Ayeka, where are you? Rav Soloveitchik explains that Ayeka is not a where are you in terms of the physical ramifications, but rather where are you in terms of spiritual assessment? What have you done? Where are you standing now? Are you prepared to take responsibility for the action which you did and which was wrong? And Adam does not answer. Had Adam answered and said, I'm here, I was wrong, then there would have been the engagement of conversation between a parent, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and between a child in the Adam HaRishon. But Adam says, Ha'ishar sher natate li, hi natna li miha'etz le'achol. It was the woman who gave me to eat. He was kafui tov. He was unwilling to accept responsibility. But more importantly, he was unwilling to accept the parameters of conversation with Hashem by saying, Abba, I was wrong. I did the wrong thing. Explain to me what I could do differently. Or let me explain to you why I ate from the tree. But realizing, recognizing that it begins with himself. There was an Ayeka where Hashem was calling for, where are you? Talk to me. And the child, Adam, did not respond. That is a complete breakdown in communication. And that is where sin begins. That is where a relationship is destroyed. That is where one cannot nurture a future rapport of health, understanding, and communication between two parties. Yehi Ratzon, as we enter this Chodesh Nisan, this Chodesh of Pesach, that we should have the experience between ourselves, our families, with all of our community, and more particular and especially with our children, of Pesach. When we ask Ayeka, they should at least respond. And when they ask why, we should be able to engage in that conversation. And as a result of that hitchadshut, of once again arriving at the new source, the new understanding, the new holiday, Chodesh Aviv, the rebirth, the reincarnation of a spring, refreshing our batteries and refreshing our relationships, we should be zocheh to truly appreciate and understand what redemption, what chirut, what freedom is. Freedom is the ability to talk to one's child and to understand that there's a healthy communication between the two parties. Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach.